just a baby. Before I could speak, I would line up all my letter blocks alphabetically. Now it's my vocation and my passion to assign every decimal numbered shelf to every decimal numbered spine. I'm
good morning and welcome to the Library Show. My name is Brooke and I'm your host this morning, here on Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka. Today's March 6th and I'm joined in the studio by my friend and an avid reader, Tammy Parker Song. Thanks for coming in, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
I'm delighted to have you here today. I think we're going to have some interesting conversations. I'm really curious to hear what books you're going to talk about. I'll let the listeners know that you were working on a project, which I'll let you talk a little bit more about, for last year, for 2015, that guided the things you read. You read essays and books that were written by people who have been historically and contemporarily erased or marginalized.
That's right.
So maybe we can start out with you explaining what exactly that means.
Sure. Yeah. I decided for my New Year's resolution for 2015, I decided to only read books and watch movies made by and about people who had been historically marginalized and who were still being marginalized or whose stories were just not heard at all, were, like you said, erased. And so I made it this project for myself to really pay attention to who was writing the book. I mean, a lot of times when I pick up a book, I don't pay attention to usually the person's race. I guess gender is a little bit more obvious, but certainly the movies I was watching, I paid some attention, but I just made it this decision to pay very, very, to be really, really mindful. And I had to actually, movie-wise, go seek out, because there are not very many movies starring people of color or starring women. And books, since this is a library show.
Right.
Same thing.
Am curious, though. That does seem like an interesting challenge when it comes to watching films. I don't know if people even think about that sort
right.
of thing, or I wonder even if you're looking beyond like the actors and actresses,
right.
like
yeah.
it's probably even harder to find like directors.
Directors is, yeah, it's a, exactly. Those are, you know, one of the things I realized throughout the year is that there are of course plenty of women and people of color, and transgendered people and et cetera, who are creating things, but there actually isn't very much funding for those projects to get made. And so it is really hard to find, like, say, women of color who are directing films directed by women of color. But there are, you know, there are also resources, like there are other people are thinking about these things too, of course.
Right.
And so, like, there are websites that are just for movies made by women of color, things like that. So there are resources. But yeah, if you just go to the local movie theater, your chances are almost zero to see movies made by or about
right.
folks like that. Yeah.
Right. Maybe we can make some of those resources that you found available to listeners.
Sure. Yeah,
we'll
try to.
Okay, great. Well, we'll get that up after the show then. So those of you listening and who are interested in exploring some of this yourself, you can look on the Raven Radio page. There should be a link to the library show, and you
yeah.
can access that information there. But what was your experience then with looking for books, essays, the other types of materials that you would
right.
read?
Yeah, it tended to be easier and more straightforward. Also, books are a much longer investment, at least for me. And so, you know, I'd find one book and then read it for a couple of weeks and then find another book. It was a great experience. I brought in one book today, but I could have brought in a whole bunch of other ones, books and articles and essays. One of the things that I had several sort of major takeaways at the end of the year, and one of them was I went in to the experience thinking that I would read all kinds of different stories about all kinds of different things that happened to be written by people of color, women, gay people, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I really expected, like, I don't know, like stories about family, stories mm-hmm. about going to the laundromat, stories about just a whole host of things. And now that it seems a little bit naive that I didn't realize that almost everything that I read would actually be about mm-hmm. race, class, gender, sexual orientation. That would be the actual content, right? It's not like this story just happened to be written by a woman,
right.
But it would actually be about those things. And yeah, like I said, it feels naive now, but
I think, I mean, I think I can sort of relate to that. I don't know exactly what it is, but I would have thought the same thing, I think,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
Yeah.
But I suppose people who are writing or creating art are creating art about the things that are important to them or that are struggles for them. And so it makes sense that
right.
in the end, like in hindsight, that those would be the topics that people who are struggling with issues like race or gender or...
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think that people who are not women or people who are not people of color don't realize that this isn't just one aspect of your existence that mm-hmm. you can tune in and out of, but that you go around the world as a woman 100% of the time. You don't, like, there's almost no time when you're just a human without a gender.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And you're constantly feeling your gender, constantly mm-hmm. feeling your race, and... It's just, but I also think somebody pointed out, Dipika Guha actually pointed out to me, she was a writer in residence here in Sitka, and she's a playwright, and she pointed out that the people who make publishing decisions tend to publish people of color who are writing about race. Hmm. You know, women who are writing about gender. Like, in other words, that's kind of what sells is you're slotted. So the people of color, of course, are going to be writing about race. And so that's what's published. And if you're writing something that the primarily white people who make these decisions think kind of isn't something that people of color write about, then it just won't get published.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Right. So on the one hand, it's like, it sort of makes sense that the thing, or it seems important too, that the thing that someone who is a woman, say, is writing about is the experience of being a woman. Like, that's important because the dominant voice is not about that experience.
Right.
So it's great that it's added in. But on the other hand, it sounds like potentially it's telling women that they can only write about their experience of being a woman.
Exactly.
Which is, yeah.
And then you're there. It's another form of being marginalized, like patting you on the head. Oh yeah, you're a woman. Of course you write about gender. We all know,
right.
You know, you can't really speak to the full range of human experience.
Right.
So it's really complicated what's going on, you know? And I think for that reason, it's really easy to turn away from, if you're not those things, right? So if you're a straight white man, for example, I think it's easy to get exhausted really quickly with this stuff because it's so complicated and painful and confusing and overwhelming that, you know, you watch one movie or you read one book and you're like, okay, that was enough of that.
Right.
Let's go back to the mainstream narrative.
Right. Something that's not so complicated or difficult all the time, or kind of like, well, I've heard this story now. I don't
exactly,
need to keep hearing it.
Right.
Okay.
And of course, for the people who are not straight white men, you can't just turn away. It's your life.
Right.
You know? But I think that is sort of at the heart of what's going on, is that it's hard to have the stamina to stick with, looking at the thing in the eye. You know.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That leads me to a question. I mean, I'm wondering several things. I'm wondering what other big takeaway things you took from the year, but I'm also wondering if this has affected the way you now read. Now that your year, your pledge for 2015 is kind of over, do you find that you are not thinking about it now at all anymore, or when you choose your books or your movies, or do you have it still in mind?
It's very much still in mind. I totally notice now, like, for example, with the Oscar, you know, kerfuffle, I saw a front page of a newspaper, and the headline was something like Oscar nominees, and it was just people's face. It was just everyone's faces. There were Oscar nominees, and I didn't know yet that any of the controversy. And my immediate knee jerk response was, "They're all white."
Right.
So. You know, I definitely see, I mean, I notice it in movies, especially like, oh, look, everybody's white or everybody's male or, and so that has been one of the best things, the best, like, it's not something that I have to tune in and out of now. Like, oh yeah, I remember now I'm supposed to be thinking about race as a responsible liberal. Like, I actually just do think about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've lost of your question. Yeah.
Well, I think that's interesting because, like, so your year of practice actually worked out to be, it changed the way
it actually transformed. Yeah. And I mean, I was definitely someone who thought about these things.
To make that decision, I think you'd have to, on some level, already be interested in that.
Exactly.
Or thinking about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Of course, I already thought about them, but to make it a practice actually transformed, you know, my mind and my heart. Yeah.
Right. Well, kind of back to the project itself, you said that you were one of the things you were surprised by was what you now kind of think is a naive response where you thought the stories would be just about anything.
Yeah.
Were there other big, like general things like that you took away from the year of reading in this way?
Yes. I think that my, impressions of the particularly white people around me shifted quite a bit, partly because of what I was reading. So I was reading things that, for example, I read Americana by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie.
Yeah.
And so so she's writing a bunch about, you know, race, experiencing race in America. It's a novel, but I think largely based on her experience. And So I was having highlighted for me, oh, these are all the dumb ways that white people act. And then, of course, interacting with a lot of white people and realizing, like, oh, yeah. I think just realizing how common racism mm-hmm. is in the people around me and in myself, mm-hmm. How it's just every day, every hour, all the time. And that, of course, the people I hang out with, who are like good, almost entirely liberal people who are like really against racism, for example, right. or sexism, how they're engaging in those things all the time, really without knowing,
absolutely,
without knowing it.
Sure.
I became like, I might have known that theoretically before or caught it sometimes, but now I catch it so much more often and I'm just like, holy cow, right. We're so saturated mm-hmm. in the problem and we don't even know it. We white people don't right. even know it. Of course, the people of color are intimately familiar, you know, and that's true for gender.
Right.
Men are so sexist and women know that.
Right.
You know.
That is really encouraging, actually, even though, you know, on one level it's kind of like, oh, that sounds terrible, like we're all racist and or sexist and we don't want to be. But it's encouraging in that it sounds like it was as simple as informing yourself, like changing what you read, becoming aware, choosing, making a conscious effort to read things that were from a perspective outside of your own, outside of the dominant one.
Yeah, I think it's as simple as taking on a different practice.
Right.
Like, and then it can, you know, basically if you have an open heart and you decide to incorporate some practice to be in alignment with what you say your values are, you can actually change your heart.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's for real,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I agree with you that part does feel encouraging to me. And also like when you fall in love, like falling in love with some of these stories, then it doesn't feel so much like it's taking stamina to stick with this, you know, but it's more like, oh, these are amazing stories, amazing humans that I want to know more and be around more, right? And then it's not, you're not just like being a good person and not being racist, but you're actually like engaging in an act of love, which is a whole different thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, so what are, besides Americana, so you read Americana, was a fictional novel.
That I highly, highly, highly recommend. It's such a compelling, wonderful read.
Okay.
That I think lots of people would like. I brought the book Citizen. I'm trying to think about what else I read. I watched a bunch of great movies. I watched Ida, which is maybe my favorite movie of the year.
Oh, tell us about that. Tell us about Ida.
Ida is a Polish movie. It's black and white, but I believe it was made in 2015. And it's about race, but it is about, post-Holocaust, kind of the effects of, racism, but, you know, against Jewish people, mm-hmm. More like contemporary effects. And it's pretty subtle. Like it's not, there's nothing big and graphic and yet, it's fairly devastating. But really understated and gorgeous and honest. And I highly recommend that movie.
Okay.
Another movie also about racism and, again, completely outside the American experience is called Before the Rain, and it's a Macedonian movie about war and, the conflict. And it's thoroughly... I finished the movie in complete despair, which I feel like is what a war movie should be like. Like
right.
if a war movie is making you feel inspired, then it's probably not a very honest movie.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those are some of the
highlights of the
highlights
movie.
of the movie world.
Right?
Yeah. I read, Leaving Before the Rain Comes by Alexandra Fuller.
This one sounds familiar to me. Maybe you've talked about it some other time. But.
Yeah, I may have mentioned it. And it's about gender. I mean, it's about marriage. and of which it between straight people ends up being about gender. I guess mm-hmm. that's true between anyone. It ends right. up being about gender. It's a beautiful book. It's a memoir, and I would say I think kind of my ideal memoir, like a great combination of reflection and storytelling and insight. It's beautifully written, and I highly recommend it.
Okay. Yeah. Would it? I don't know if you're. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the? I don't know if plot is the right word, but
sure. Of that book. It's, yeah. Mm-hmm. Alexandra Fuller grew up in what was Rhodesia, and is now Zimbabwe. Her parents were British, so she is white. And, of course, almost all the other folks in the country are black Africans. So she was part of, like, essentially colonizing family and world. She met a white American man and married him. And then not too long after that, they moved to the States. So she's dealing with a lot of issues, you know, colonization, gender, racial, being outside of your own culture, all that kind of stuff. But mostly she sticks with talking about marriage. And she has also written memoirs about growing up in Zimbabwe and her family, who are completely bonkers, like really, really, really crazy, certifiably crazy and alcoholic, but also very, very funny. And she writes compellingly about them. So she writes some about them, but mostly she's writing about the disillusion of her marriage. Mm. But she writes about it in very, complex, like all the complex ways that a marriage with someone that you really do love and respect in many ways becomes unworkable, and maybe was unworkable all along. But because this is a good person you're with, it's very complicated.
Yeah.
And she just writes about it in ways that feel to me, as someone who can relate to that, I was married and am now divorced, and feel really true. Like it just felt true. And I felt like she articulated kind of the heart of why sometimes you just can't stay in that kind of relationship, even though things are working in certain ways and the other person is good. Mm-hmm. And she articulated in ways that I thought, okay, if someone asked me to explain myself, I'm just going to photocopy this page,
right.
give it,
Yeah.
And she's writing largely about gender, but it's a story, these are the ways that these things get lived out in our lives. Like they're embedded with going to the grocery store and raising kids and all the other things. And so I wasn't just thinking gender.
Right.
I was thinking life.
Right.
So
it ends up being kind of, about her marriage and the ending of her marriage. Mm-hmm. But a big part of why that happened, it sounds like, perhaps has to do with gender inequality.
Absolutely.
or just,
yeah. And, okay. and just the subtle ways that men and women are playing roles that were handed down to them to play,
right.
That don't actually work very well in terms of being able to connect with each other.
Right.
Yeah.
It sounds like a wonderful read. It sounds challenging too. And it made me wonder, like, was this a tough year of reading?
Oh, that's a really good question. Yes, it was. Yeah, I think you're asking, like, what happened when I got to 2016. And there was definitely a part of me that was like, I'm so glad I get to go back to reading straight white men. Because, which I actually have tried not to do, because I'm aware of that as a danger, right. Like, okay, I did my thing and now I'm over it.
Right.
But a part of me really did get exhausted with being so immersed in oppression, in the narratives of what has happened throughout history is awful, mm-hmm. really, and kind of unrelentingly in many ways. And, So, yeah, I think it was really hard. And I think what made it even harder was that I felt like I was doing it alone a lot of the time.
Sure.
Like, people were like, oh, that's a cool project you're doing. But especially my white friends were like, oh, that's nice. Or, like, tell us about it. And then we all got to move on, except that...
You were still in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be like, people, everyone should do this.
With me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it was hard and... But felt so worth it, not in a, like, self-congratulatory, aren't I awesome way, but in a my heart feels softer kind of way.
A positive way.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe if readers are out there interested in doing this, they could reach out to you.
Yes.
If they're feeling alone.
Yes, please.
And maybe others. Well, you could gather everyone together.
That would be wonderful.
I'm surprised that we're getting really close to the end of our short time together. And I know you brought one book with you.
I did.
That I imagine you have, that I'm curious about, and maybe you have some passages to read from it.
Sure.
So I don't know if you want to talk about that with what time.
Yeah,
you have
I'll
left.
Talk about it. I'm not sure if I'll have time to read from it, but okay. I will at least say, so it's called Citizen. And the subtitle is An American Lyric. It's by Claudia Rankine, and it's a book, she calls it poetry. I think that a lot of readers would think of it more as prose. And it's about being African American in the United States. And this is the book, above all, that I would say if you're wondering, if you as a white person are wondering, what's it like to be African American in the States, and like, what's going on? What's the deal with Black Lives Matter? What's the deal with race? You know,
mm-hmm.
I think you should read this book. And one of the reasons is because she gives very, very mundane daily examples of experiencing racism. You know, a lot of it isn't the big flashy, you know, someone getting shot. It's like someone's offhand comment, you know, being at the grocery store, being at the post office, going for a walk with a friend.
Right.
And I think one of the things you take away is the cumulative effect. Like, if you only had one of those experiences in your whole life, it would be no big deal. But it's the cumulative effect of every day, you know, experiencing, in this case, racism. I think it's, she also talks about sexism, actually. She's a woman. That by the end of the book, you realize, okay, I get what I see now,
mm-hmm.
what we're dealing with,
mm-hmm.
you know. I'm trying to.
I mean, it sounds wonderful.
It is.
It sounds helpful.
Yes.
It's a book I'm certainly intrigued in. I'm noticing on the front of it, I think it was a national book, it looks like, or it was a finalist for the National Book Award. That must have been in 2015? Did it come out the year you read it?
It did.
Or, okay.
Yes, it came out in 2015.
So maybe some of our listeners have heard about it.
2014.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, people definitely. I think that at least in certain circles, it's a fairly well-known book.
Yeah.
And
we should read it.
Everyone should read, everyone of all the colors,
right.
should read this book.
Okay.
It's quite accessible. It has photos. It's very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. I think we're going to go out with on some Zimbabwean music before we switch over to the TED Hour, which will be at 11 a.m. It's just about a minute before 11 a.m. And you're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, and you're listening to The Library Show. My name is Brooke. I've been enjoying chatting with Tammy Parker Song. Came in to talk about some books and movies that she read and watched in 2015. And I remember before we were in the studio, you mentioned that you did a blog about this
yes,
kind of project. So we're going to – is it something easy to say over the air, or should I just – I'll just let people know.
Why don't
that,
you just post it on the website? Yeah.
So you can check the website later today to find some – the list of the books we talked about and some links to some things that might be helpful. And thanks for coming in, Tammy.
Thank you so much, Brooke. It's been great to be here.
Great. And we're going to go out with Thomas Mapfumo. Thanks for tuning in to The Library Show.